This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Abbott Kaler. Abbott's the New York Times bestselling author of the book That Goes to Eden Park. She also got several other books she's written and more books coming out. Abbott, take a moment and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Abbott Kaler. Thank you, Scott, by the way, for having me. I should say that first. Just to fill you in on my name, if you look up any of my books from Sin in the Second City to the most recent one, The Ghost of Eden Park, they were all under the byline Karen Abbott, which was my original name. But as I was just telling the story a couple years ago, about 2013, I got an email from a reader who said that if she Googled my name, it said that I died in 2010. And so I was very creeped out by this. I very hesitantly Googled myself. And of course, my picture pops up, my education information pops up, and it says I died in 2010. I came to believe that I was mixed up with another author named Karen Abbott who possibly did die in 2010, but it was spooky enough for me to change my name. I went to the court in New York, got my name changed to Abbott Kaler. A lot of my friends had called me Abbott anyway, so it was kind of a good fit. And my next books, all my books from now on, will be under the name Abbott Kaler.
Fantastic. And talk for a moment, Karen. The book, The Ghost of Eden Park, is that your most recent book? Do you have another book coming out now?
Oh, no. The Ghost of Eden Park came out in hardback in August of 2019. It is the true story of George Remus, who was America's most successful bootlegger and who, by the way, got his start in Chicago. And he eventually became the most successful bootlegger in American history, even eclipsing Al Capone. And it's such a fantastic story. It's really, truly the stranger than fiction, probably the strangest story I've ever written about. Remus fell in love with a very glamorous woman who became a second wife. And his wife eventually falls in love with the prohibition agent who put Remus in jail. So there's this incredible love triangle that ends in murder. And I won't say who gets murdered. I'd like to keep that a surprise if anybody really wants to read. So
who's the bad guy here? Is the bad guy the spouse who turns him into a special agent? Is the bad guy the bootlegger? Who do you view sort of as the protagonist? Who do readers come away loving and hating in that type of fascinating triangle?
Well, it's interesting. George Remus was a very complicated man. He grew up, he immigrated from Germany when he was just a kid. His family moved to Chicago. His father was a mean and abusive alcoholic, in Remus's own words, and he had to quit school and go to work to start supporting the family. He became a pharmacist. He became a lawyer, all studying at night. And in 1920, he noticed that he was getting a new type of client on his docket. There were men being charged with violating prohibition laws. So using his pharmaceutical background and his legal background, Remus found a loophole in the Volstead Act, which was that with a physician's prescription, it was legal to buy, manufacture, distribute, and possess alcohol. Now, of course, nobody was really using alcohol for medicinal purposes, and Remus knew this. And he devised a plan, and about a year into his business, he owned 35% of all of the alcohol in the United States, which was quite a remarkable number.
And so how
he was a complicated guy. I would say you root for him, and while he's kind of a terrible character, but you root for him. He's very charismatic.
And what about sort of that? I mean, there must be parallels when you study that to what's going on with the legalization of marijuana, where it largely started as medicinal marijuana. Now it's largely going to be legal, but not quite. And even though it's largely legal, you know, in many states, due to tax reasons, due to people being used to buying it from whoever the dealer is, you know, it's still a market where 80% is bought on what was the illegal market, or was originally called the black market, and so forth. What's your perception today? Are there real parallels between that story and what you see in the evolving drug business today?
I do. And I've written a couple books with this theme, but I feel it's sort of impossible to try to clamp down on vice, as people called it back then. It's always going to be impossible. There are definite parallels with, making something illegal does not temper the demand for it. And there were certainly parallels between that and And I would like to see what George Remus would have done today in the marijuana business. I'm sure he also would have been a kingpin today.
How do you come up with ideas for books? What is it a rigorous study? Is an idea hit you? How do you get the bug and find an idea and write?
Well, I usually get my ideas from dusty old archives or out of print books, you know, any place where, you know, you breathe and a bunch of dust starts flying up. But I got the idea for The Ghost of Eden Park from TV, actually. There was a brilliant show on HBO called Boardwalk Empire. It was really brilliant. It perfectly captured the dawn of the 1920s. You know, bootleggers were just figuring out how to circumvent prohibition laws, and nobody had yet heard of Al Capone. And there was a minor character named George Remus, and he was so innovative and so cuckoo and so funny. He really stole every scene he was in. And he spoke of himself in the third person, which was also interesting to me. And I wanted to know if he was a real historical figure, and indeed he was. And the more I looked into his life, the more I realized that his actual life that he lived was much more dramatic and interesting than anything portrayed on Boardwalk Empire. And I knew he'd make a fantastic book, and I wasn't wrong. It was a great subject.
And how many books have you written now that have been published by major publishing houses like Penguin's being published this one? And do you always come up with ideas just by chance, or do you decide, I really make your living as a writer, dying to write, need to write? What drives you to write?
Well, this is my fourth book. The Ghost of Eden Park is my fourth book. Very lucky to have been published by major publishers. And I always liked to write. When I was a child, I would sit down and write and staple, make my own little books, and give readings to myself, to my mom. But I never really wanted to be a writer because I didn't think that it was something you could do for a living. I never really was told that you could do that for a living. So I planned to go to law school, but I happened to get a job during college at an internship at Philadelphia Magazine, and was introduced to journalism. And I just thought it was the most exciting thing that you could possibly do. I mean, imagine being able to step inside someone else's life for a period of time and experience life that is not your own. And, you know, writing about people is the next best way of doing that, aside from inhabiting their bodies. But I always say that I pick characters from history that I wish I could have lived their lives, and writing about them is the next best thing. So that's really what drives me.
And take a moment on, so of your four books, which is the most, which one is the one you'd recommend first to somebody to pick up who has not read Abbott Kaler before?
I would say The Ghost of Eden Park. I think, you know, it's when I do narrative nonfiction, which is nonfiction that reads like a novel, I'm not allowed to make up any dialogue. I'm not allowed to make up characters. I'm not allowed to make up events. I'm not allowed to make up anything. But I always look for nonfiction that could read like fiction. And I think out of all of my books, it's the one that most reads like fiction. There's such a dramatic, natural arc to it. The characters are all fascinating. The dialogue is really engrossing, and it's just really sort of a perfect arc, and I could not have made it up. It's definitely stranger than fiction.
So for the people listening, where can people find the book, The Ghost of Eden Park? I mean, it sounds fascinating. I'll actually pick it up and read it either on my iPad or read it, get it from the bookstall or local bookstore here.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the bookseller. Tell Susie I said hello.
We'll do so. So tell us where people can find your book.
Anywhere books are sold. I always encourage people to support independent bookstores. They're such an important part of the community. And, you know, of course, they're like a lot of other businesses. It's difficult during COVID times when people can't walk in there and browse necessarily. I really support your indies, but it is everywhere. Everywhere there, fine books are sold.
Fantastic. And where are you? Do you have a next book planned yet? Or are you thinking about a next book? And how do you come up with the idea for that?
I do. My next book, I'm very excited about. I think it's even stranger than The Ghost of Eden Park. And I love strange historical stories. This one is called Then Came the Devil. It is the true story of a group of people who fled fascist Germany and tried to build the utopia in the Galapagos Islands during the 1930s. and it turned into sort of an adult Lord of the Flies. And at the end, American explorers were the ones investigating the murder and the disappearances and sort of sifting through all of the pieces. And it's a really interesting story that I think hits a lot of current topics. First of all, don't we all want to live on a desert island right now? in COVID
unless
time.
A desert island has
everybody...
COVID, then we don't.
Well, yeah, yeah. But I think a desert island might be the safest place away from COVID at this point. Of course, Galapagos is ground zero for climate change. A lot of the animals that the American explorers would go over and take back to America, by the way, very unethical today, are now either extinct or endangered. And it's just sort of, aside from that, it's just really a study in human nature and sort of the idea of wherever you go, there you are. You can't escape human nature.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So that book will come out. When will that book come out?
Well, I just started working on it. It just was finalized. I'm guessing it would come out in 4 years from now. It takes about how long it takes for a nonfiction book to be birthed, I guess.
Wow. So that takes a long time to get that done. That's amazing. Well,
it does.
Congratulate you on your fortitude, your persistence. I, for one, can't wait to read The Ghost of Eden Park. And this is about America's greatest bootlegger, George Remus. I mean, the only thing I don't want, we've got our producer on the phone. I don't want her to decide that she's so inspired by this that she wants to become America's next great bootlegger. So I'll encourage her to read it, but not to take that on as a career.
Oh, I'm sure George Remus would make plenty of room for her. He'd like a smart lady by his side, I think.
One that's not
sleeping with the prohibition agent. Yeah.
Of course not. No. We don't look at it like that at all. Just trying to keep people out of that career as a bootlegger. I want to thank you. What a fascinating career you've built for yourself. I will find the book. I will read it. Next time you're on, I'll be able to digest it with you, and we'll talk about it together. Abbott Kaler, thank you for joining us, author of Ghost of Eden Park.
Thank you so much, Scott.